pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us this evening. We have a full house, which is wonderful. Do I have a motion to, or we'll call the meeting to order, roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
All present and accounted for. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda this evening? Trustee Genrick.
I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Agenda item number 3, announcements. We have several this evening. There is a meeting for residents of the nominated Miramar Historic District on Tuesday, October 10th at 6 p.m., and that's here, correct? Right here in Village Hall. Put that on your calendars. Next announcement, there's a 10-year anniversary for the Central Brown County Water Authority. So it's been 10 years, I guess, since we've been getting water through the Central Brown County Water Authority, and they want to have a party, and you're invited. It is Monday, October 9th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Water Storage Towers in Ledgeview, and as Craig will attest, if you haven't seen those structures, they're pretty neat. But all the information is on the Village website. Feel free to attend. They'll show you where your water comes from and answer any questions that you might have. Next week, October 8th through 14th, is Fire Prevention Week. There is more information. It's an important recognition of the fire prevention, and you can learn more at firepreventionweek.org. It will tell you how to get out of a burning building and how to protect your family. Information on that's on the website, and it's upside down on the screen, so please feel free to take a look. D, budget meeting dates. We are fast approaching the hard work of the budgets. Actually, the hard work of putting together the village budget has been underway for a while by staff, and we are coming to a close pretty soon. Next week, the department heads will be meeting with the village administrator and the village president to go over their proposed budgets for their departments. And then on October 16th, the budget books will be distributed to our fellow board members and department heads. The budget workshops are going to be Monday, October 23rd at 5 p.m., Wednesday, October 25th at 5 p.m., and we will have a final budget hearing on Tuesday, November 21st at 6:30 p.m. right here in Village Hall. E, fall curbside collection of loose leaves and garden waste begins October 16th. For some, this is a confusing time of the year. When do I put out brush? When do I put out my leaves? When do I do anything? And all of that information is on the village website. So I encourage you to go. But starting Monday, October 16th, the village will be collecting loose leaves during the week when, Craig, is that when garbage week is for the certain areas? Or is it just on the schedule?
Okay.
That's what I thought. Like I said, it's confusing for some, so I guess that's me. And during the week of October 9th, brush will be picked up. So refer to the village website to figure out when we are going to be picking up what. Please don't put things out too early, especially leaves, because we get rain, it goes down into the gutter, it goes down into the sewer, and we end up being charged for excessive garbage in our water. F, temporary Class B license issued to Resurrection Catholic Parish for brats, beer, and bingo on October 7th from 5 to 7 p.m. is a recurring event. And this is just to notify us that that is taking place, right? This is not for an approval.
Reoccurring events do not require board approval, but we let you know so that you are aware that they're going on.
And that there's an event on October 7th at Resurrection Parish. It includes beer, brats, and bingo. Another announcement. The water department will be flushing dead-end water mains from October 9th through October 13th. Please check your tap water for discoloration before use. Any other announcements from board members? I met with the CP Center today, and they are off to a great start on their addition. If you haven't seen it, driving down Webster, you will now. And they also asked me to let you know that they are about $400,000 shy of their ultimate fundraising goal. So you can visit their website or go visit them if you want to donate. Any other announcements from staff? Chris?
Yes, I just wanted to let the board know that the paving for the trail down Green Isle Park has been completed. And restoration should be done by the end of next week. So that trail is open and ready for use. The construction work at the entrance to Green Isle, the roadway, they will be working on installing a culvert, replacing a culvert, I believe, next week, Craig?
Yes.
Next week. So that road will be temporarily closed during that time period. And then they hope to have that project completed by the end of the month.
Great. Thank you. Trevor?
Just a reminder, Thursday night is our final farmer's market of the season. We have a farmer's market outside the Boach Hall here every Thursday through the summer. Thursday night, again, is our last one from 3:30 to 6:30.
They
have apples, too.
They have apples, too. Good. Any other announcements from staff? Board? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not listed on this evening's agenda? Sir?
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Eric Berteau. I live at 810 Lankiln Road, number 6. I've been striving to purchase the Alloy Waterworks Pump House on Green Avenue. My attorney and I have drawn up a revised offer, pretty much the same as his conditions, but we bumped the offer up, and I believe the village has received it, and I'd like to really work with you guys to get this thing worked out and resolved so that I can start sprucing the place up, get the hole in the roof fixed over the garage, and really want to start making it look nice. Leading into next spring, and while the weather is still nice, it'd be really nice to hit it this year yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be
much.
Talking about that in the session after tonight's session. Anyone else like to speak tonight on something that's not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. I recently had a chance to talk with our county executive, Troy, and he gave me a great quote that I'd like to give you. Is that good government operates with a 20-year vision and a good 5-year plan, and it's my understanding that our comprehensive plan is now 5 years old. We've been giving it some annual updates, but our plan is is 5 years old now, and it's my understanding that we might not update it this year. We might extend it out to the 10-year state mandate. So I'd like to encourage the board to move forward and have the comprehensive plan updated next year on the 5-year interval, as we have been doing in years past, and not skip out. What's most important is that we get sidewalks for the school kids who want to go from the new apartments on Riverside Drive. There's two apartment buildings under construction and under consideration, a big condominium plan on the Mariner Hotel site. There's other things going on. So the Riverside Drive really does need a good comprehensive plan, and this is the time to do it. So I'd like to see the village continue with doing the 5-year updates, the comprehensive plan, and not wait till the 10-year is mandated by the state. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5. Public hearing to consider the request from Malcolm Management, LLC, Zambaldi Brewery, to proceed with final approval of the planned development district to develop vacant parcels AL44-44-1, located at 1649 South Webster Avenue. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on this matter? For the second time. Okay, come on up. Could you give us your name and address, please?
It's Amanda Miller, 204 East Alloway Avenue.
And Robert Miller, 204 East Alloway.
Thank you.
And we just want to encourage you guys to go ahead with the development of the brewery. We think it'll bring a lot of people to this area. We know that we travel to other parts of Green Bay to visit breweries and you know, for a drink or for dinner, things like that. And it'd be nice to have something local. And I think it would bring people from other parts of the city over here to see, you know, what they have to offer, not only in the brewery, but in the community.
Great.
Yep, I second that. I feel that we do quite a bit of traveling around Green Bay and the state. Going to different breweries, craft beer industry is really booming, and it's kind of exciting to go and see what everybody has to offer. It would be nice to have something nearby that we can consider our own.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. In the village code, I believe we're allowed brew pubs, and this is going to be a microbrewery and a tap room, and I don't know the difference. I think it has something to do with the food being served and the inspections and that kind of thing. So I understand that there's some planned food trucks and that type of thing, so I just had some questions on the difference between a brew pub, which is allowed, versus a microbrewery and a tap room, which might need an adjustment to the code. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter tonight? Okay, for the...
I think I would.
Okay, please come up.
Yeah. My name is Don Johnson. I'm 1622 Rustic Oaks Court.
Hello, Don.
Directly behind the proposed brewery.
You lucky man.
Pardon me?
You lucky man.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, I think that Alloway has listened to our concerns. The village board and the Malcolm seem like they have addressed all of our concerns to this point. I'm excited for them to be a part of our community. I think they'll be a welcome addition. So, Doreen? Okay. My good neighbor over there has nothing to add, so. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, would you like to?
Bill Swayze, 1600 South Irwin. We seem to be in the minority here tonight. I think that this could be a good business for Alloway. seems to have a lot of interest. However, it's not the business for that location. I'll tell you why. You're aware of some of the problems. One, traffic on Webster. One of the things that was discussed about the traffic was trying to make a left-hand turn coming out of there, so maybe they would make it right turn only. Well, if you live in the south part of the village or down south of that location, what are you going to do? You're going to turn right at the first street. That's called. It's a little narrow street. Only one car can pass when there's anybody parked on either side. There's not supposed to be parking on one side, but there usually is. So the traffic is a problem. The smell is a problem. You're right on the edge of a residential district, and the brewery's on the top of the hill. The prevailing winds from the west are going to blow that smell right down the hill, right into the residential area. The noise factor. Same with as with the smell. This noise is going to go right down the hill. We already get noise from the restaurants a little further north over on the west side. Not all the time, but we do. I also have concerns about this free beer for life buy-in program. Sounds like it might be easy to over imbibe with that kind of a situation. Another concern that I have is that it's my understanding, I hope I have this correct, is that they're not buying the entire parcel. That there's a small remainder, and I have heard that one suggestion is to just to get rid of it, to just donate it to them for the brewery. Doesn't sound like good economics, as far as I'm concerned. I heard at the planning committee meeting that this was the best offer for that property that we've had. Really? Is that good enough? Just because it's the best so far. The traffic, the smell, the noise problems can be solved by relocating this brewery, the beer garden, to a different location in Alloway. It sounds like the prison property may be becoming available. It's not a residential area. Yes, absolutely, too. It's not a residential area. A lot of the problems that I've discussed here could be solved by placing it in that area, and we would still have good visibility. Over in the Village Grill area, there may be some property over there. I don't know where all these properties might other possible locations might be, but I'm sure there are some. The current proposed location is not the best and highest use for that property. It's better suited, that property is better suited because of its size, its location on Webster, and the fact that it's right on the edge of a residential area. That's much better suited to like a professional building, banks, maybe a clinic, all of which, and this is really the bottom line for me, all of which would result in a higher tax base. And we're going to have a relatively small building that's proposed for this beer garden on a good-sized piece of property. I don't know how much you can charge in the tax base for bricks or a patio and parking area. But I think the return to the Village of Alloway for tax basis would be much greater, as I said, for apartments, professional building, a bank, something of that nature. higher value. Now, it may be true that so far this is the best offer that's been received, but please consider this before you vote tonight. A building going up on that property, what do you think the lifespan of that building is going to be? 50, 75, 100 years? I don't know. But I assume it would be a long time with building standards the way they are right now. So if you would compare the tax income from a professional building, etc., to this proposed beer garden over decades, I suggest that it would be wise to perhaps wait for a better offer. Not just the best offer that we've gotten, but a good offer to come along, defer that deferred pleasure concept. Let's hold off, wait for a better offer, wait for a good offer that is going to produce a good tax revenue base for decades for the Alloway citizens. I hope you will consider this best and highest use and the tax income aspect for decades down the road when you cast your vote tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Sir?
Hi, my name is Rob Krasinski.
Could you give us your address, please?
1238 South Quincy.
Thank you.
And this is in reference to the gentleman that was just speaking. I'm neither necessarily for or against this brewery, or whatever you want to call it, being put mm-hmm. there. However, I would suggest that if it's up for a vote tonight, defer it. And here's my reason why. Is if you look back at the history of what happened with Hip Cats over on Monroe, I lived right behind that, and that was one heck of a mess. And there was more than a few board members here that ended up with their tail between their legs when it was all said and done, because you know, if you look back at the history of that and how it all transpired and how there was a little bit of a good boy club thing going on there, and it came, turned around and bit the board, you know where. So, as far as relocating it, or potentially relocating it, you know, the mention of the prison area, you know, what that is going to be used for, I would just suggest, having been there, having tried to deal with all of that as a resident, I can relate to what this guy is saying as far as the noise, bras, underwear, everything else that gets thrown over a fence. And that's not to say that this new business is going to automatically be that, but things can get sticky. And even if it's good for a year, you know, crowds kind of travel around. This is the hot spot, and you know, things rotate. But I just ask that you guys take a little more time and think about it. I'm not saying deny these guys the right, you know, to do this thing, but really look hard at the parameters of how this thing is going to operate.
Great.
That's it.
Thank you, Rob. Yep.
Derby Lane.
I'm sorry, could you repeat your name, please?
Valerie Hutchison.
Thank you, Valerie.
I don't know enough about the specifics of this particular microbrewery to speak to it about it intelligently, except to say that when the last two gentlemen spoke, that's an issue. And I'm wondering if you've done impact studies for things like that, and also being a representative of the Robinson Hill Neighborhood Association, the traffic on Derby Lane that increased exponentially when Quick Trip went in would also increase again if that business went in. I've been to the Public Works Committee. I've been to the Planning Commission. I've been here before talking about the need for a sidewalk on Derby Lane. I pulled or drove from Riverside up to my house on Derby yesterday, and a mother was walking with her baby in a little stroller and in the street, of course, and cars are whizzing by. And there's too much traffic. You don't want to wait till something awful happens to somebody and then come back. You don't want to wait till something awful happens to somebody till something awful happens to somebody, but then it does come back to all of you because it's been brought to your attention so many times. Please, put a sidewalk there. It's unsafe.
Okay, thank you. Craig, for the next Public Works meeting, would you put sidewalk on Derby as a discussion item?
Thanks.
Thank you, Valerie. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? Saving the best for last. Mr. Malcolm, would you like to come up?
David Malcolm, 1442 Grignan Street.
Abigail Malcolm, 1442 Grignan Street.
We just wanted to address some of the concerns that have been expressed. As far as the exit goes, we've been talking with Craig about how those curb cuts will work. Our hope is not to have a right turn only, if that's possible, but to some extent that's out of our hands. As far as the smell and the noise drifting into the residential area, I'll be the brewer, and I'll be brewing during daytime weekday hours. That part of the brewing process that produces aromas is about an hour and a half long, and it lands about in the middle of the day. So most people don't find that smell offensive, but if the residents do, it'll be pretty short, and it'll be in the middle of the weekday. As far as the noise goes, the noise of brewing itself is pretty minimal and will be contained by the building. When you drive past a brewery, you can't really tell if the equipment's running or not. It's not particularly noisy. And concerns with the trucks, as we've talked about, the dock times are under our control. I don't want to be there at 5 a.m. taking a delivery, or at 6 p.m. I want to be home with my family. So our dock times will be also weekdays during the day. On the Beer for Life concerns, there is an extensive legal agreement that is accessible on our website. You do have to go into the shop and click through as if you were going to purchase it, but obviously you don't have to go through the purchase. As with any establishment serving alcohol, we have the obligation in the state of Wisconsin to cut somebody off when they're visibly intoxicated. That is written into the agreement that we can cut somebody off for any or no reason, which is legally true anyways, but everyone who enters into that agreement signs a piece of paper agreeing to that. And as far as donating the other piece of property, that is news to us, and it's not something we're looking for. And as far as bras and underwear, I've never been to a brewery where people's undergarments came off and got thrown over a fence. Most brew pubs and brewery tap rooms these days are family places. They're very calm. They're comfortable, safe gathering places, and we don't expect the bras and underwear crowd to be hanging out. I think that's about it.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter tonight? Quick?
Very quick. That's Swayze. I just wanted to point out that this best and highest use, the village of Alloway crossed that bridge not all that long ago with regard to the Riverside Drive property that's now being developed into apartments. That was originally looked at by a filling station for that property. And in discussing that with somebody from the village at that time, it was my recommendation, the same as I made tonight. That was not the best and highest use for that property. It was not going to return the best tax base for years, decades down the road. And the board, in its wisdom, turned down the gas station in favor of the apartments, as I understand it. I wasn't a part of that or anything. I just had a discussion with somebody about it. So I hope you follow that same example tonight.
Thank you, Bill.
One more quick statement.
One more quick one.
Okay. Name and address again.
Please, Don.
Don Johnson, 1622 Rustic Oaks Court.
Thank you.
Okay, and as a resident of Rustic Oaks Court, we are in contact with our neighbors continually. They're mostly older folks, and I know that there isn't one person that's against the Zimbali Brewery moving in there. Okay. That I've heard. So it's a place for forward-looking people to gather, have fun, and we're excited to have them be there. Come. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. Judy.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. Just a question on my part. How long has that property been advertised for sale?
I believe the building was raised in 2005, so pretty much since 2005.
12 years.
Okay, 12 years. How many bids have you had on that property in that time?
We've had some.
You've had some. Have you had a lot of them that would have been more substantial as far as tax return or tax basis for the community?
Some of them may have been, but they didn't go through.
But they did not go through.
Yep.
Okay, just as I said, curiosity question. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have your message, Bill, if that's okay.
This is a different message.
Make it quick. This will be the last time.
Yeah, I understand. I just wanted to respond to the, since 2005 when the building was raised. Once it was raised, they found problems with soil contamination, mm-hmm. which held up the selling of that property for many years. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this matter tonight? This is what I love about local government. Thank you. Regardless of what happens, thank you very much for being here and talking about this with us tonight. Hearing no other interested parties to speak during the public hearing, we will now close the public hearing. And we will move on to agenda item number 6, adoption of ordinance 2017-08, establishing a planned development district at 1649 South Webster Avenue. Do I have a motion on this property or on this agenda item? Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Just for one of the points that was brought up tonight that in terms of aroma, I asked that question of a couple other areas, other breweries, if they have ever gotten any complaints. And just out of the blue in terms of seeing, and no other breweries had told me they've gotten complaints with their production, for what it's worth. That's all.
Okay, thanks. Trustee Kendrick, did you have something?
Just that, you know, I certainly appreciate all the input on all sides of this issue. I also appreciate the due diligence that the Zimbaldi owners have brought forward. We've had a lot of interest on that site over the last 10, 12 years, but none of it ever materialized. And when we looked at some of those options in a historic perspective and looked at what this could bring to the village, it seems to me to be a good time to act on it.
Anyone else? Trustee Green.
I was just going to say, after Zimbaldi has been providing beer samples to some of the neighborhood groups, and some of the neighborhood groups right around that area have had the opportunity to kind of get to know them and talk to them, which has been a great experience. And I'm just, you guys had to deal with HIPAA. That was before my time, and I don't know how you did it. I'm very confident these two are not letting that crowd in, even in your front door. Yeah, Abby's going. So I know where you guys are coming from, but I'm very, very confident that that's not going to happen with this establishment. So I would encourage you actually to go try their beers once they're open.
And a couple of comments from me. First of all, the traffic concerns right now, we're going through an engineering study for Webster Avenue and better utilization of that roadway, having bike lanes, wider terraces, making it safer for people to be able to cross and drive down Webster. Because right now it's a concern at times. So I would hope and trust that the county, along with our staff, would put an awful lot of thought into allowing businesses not only where Zambaldi wants to go in, but anywhere up and down Webster Avenue to make it safe for our residents to get in and out of properties and our pedestrians to walk along the walkways. In terms of best use of the property, I've been on the board for 4 years. We've had several people come to us with ideas, some great ideas and some not so great ideas, but none of them have materialized. And the reason I'm interested in this business coming onto this property is because it meets with what was identified as a need in our corridor study that we had done in 2015 when we invited our residents in to talk about what do we want for Riverside Drive, Webster, the main corridors, what kinds of businesses do we want to attract. And you may not be surprised that in Alloway, Wisconsin, people like beer. So they wanted places to gather. They mentioned coffee shops, they mentioned brew pubs, they mentioned breweries. They mentioned places where people can come together and get together as a community. The local craft brewing business, as someone had mentioned, is kind of neat here in Green Bay. I visited several of them, and they're really neighborhood places where people come together, but other people come around and taste each other's. It's actually quite a neat environment or community of craft brewers. They support each other when you think they see them as competition. Dave Hack, the owner of Lorelei, embraced the folks from Zambaldi and said, I'd love to have that there because it brings more people to the area. Secondly, when I look at a business like a brewery or a bar or something like that coming in, I look down the street at Lorelei, and to the best of my knowledge, we don't experience a lot of problems with patronage at Lorelei, and it's a bar / restaurant. But I also look at the people who own it. And I've had the pleasure to get to know David and Abby, and as I told someone today, these are the kind of people I personally, as a resident of Alloway, want doing business in Alloway. Because they're a family, they care about things. In terms of late nights, I don't think the hours are going to be late. What do you expect your closing hours to be?
Our current thought is pretty close to what most of the breweries in town do, so no later than 10 any night of the week, but earlier than that on Sunday, and we're planning to be closed on Mondays at the moment.
Okay, thanks. And Bill, your point about the tax base for decades to come, I appreciate that, and I agree with that. But personally, I haven't seen a deal that has gotten close the fact of the matter is we have a contaminated site, and that's a challenge for a lot of people. And the further you go down, the bigger problem it becomes to rectify the situation. We've talked with the state. We're applying for a grant to help us with the cost of remediating that site, but we know that we have to do that.
the brewery as it stands is costing much less to remediate, or at least the estimate is, much less than another one that may have needed a sub-basement or a parking garage. So in terms of highest and best, I don't know if it is, but I know it's a place that will generate tax revenue, and right now it's not. And I think there was one more thing. I think that's it. And I know the village will hold any establishment, not only Zambaldi Beer, to our noise ordinance, and we listen to our residents to help them.
Brewpub First Brewery?
I'll answer that question, Jim. I'm not an expert on that, but I know who is. Would you like to explain that, David?
The main difference between a brewpub and a brewery is that a brewpub is a full restaurant, and we don't intend to do that. So we're a brewery in a tap room where we will have some small amount of food available, but you can't get a dinner. And part of the reason that we decided on that is that we are so close to the Lorelei and several other restaurants. So that's really the only difference.
Okay, thank you. So those are my comments, folks. But any other thoughts?
Well covered, Jeff.
Thank you. It's a long time coming, and we've had a lot of public input, and I appreciate your input tonight. So let's, do we have a motion on this? Oh, we do have a motion on this item, Trustee Green, correct? Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And thank you, folks. Item number 7, public hearing to consider rezoning certain property at 1649 and 1677 South Webster Avenue, also known as parcels AL44, AL44-1, and AL45, from village-owned to commercial. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this matter this evening?
Work 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Is a brewery allowed in the commercial zone? Thanks.
Trevor.
A brew pub is allowed in through a conditional use in a commercial district, but one of the reasons for going through the PDD is that it allows deviation from the zoning code and allows different uses that may not be allowed. What a PDD essentially does is it creates an overlay zoning specific district for that one parcel. So to answer his question, no, but through the PDD process, yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter tonight regarding the rezoning? Last time, anyone who wants to speak on this issue? Don, come on
up. Okay, yeah. We did have a concern, and I don't know if this has to do with zoning, but if there would be any kind of flashing lights or any kind of neon signs or whatever going off in different directions, and I don't know if that's a zoning issue, but it's a concern of ours, the neighbors.
I think the only flashing lights are going to be facing Rustic Oaks.
You can have my property for sale. Sounds good. No, so is this
good question? It's a good question. That is a zoning, and we do have a sign ordinance in Alloway. Trevor.
All lighting has to be well. Number one, there can be more than I think it's 0.2 foot candles of light spillage. So any parking lights can't trespass onto your property more than 2 foot candles, or 0.2 foot candles.
I'm sorry, can you just repeat that again, sir?
Any light from like parking lights or something like that can't spill onto your property more than 0.2 foot candles, which is a measure of light, which is significantly dim.
Okay.
And they provided in the PDD packet a lighting.
What does that mean to us normal citizens that don't know what light candles are? What does that mean to us?
It means that your property line, there won't be any glaring light towards your house, essentially. In addition to that, all the lights have to be out per our ordinance by 10 p.m. or whenever they close. And in addition to that, they are required to have some sort of screening towards residential properties.
Right.
So our village or our ordinance has several different ways to go about that. One could be a fence, one could be plantings that are 90% or more opaque, et cetera, et cetera. The owners did provide a signed letter from the adjoining property owners. Because they are deviating slightly from that, they're leaving the existing vegetation there, and then they're going to be planting some evergreen that will grow to be 8 feet in height.
And then I made one more suggestion in this. I'll just make this very brief. But if you look at all the architecture along Webster Avenue, there's only one property with a flat roof, okay, and that's the Subway Shop. Everything else has a gabled roof, a pitched roof, mm-hmm. and stuff. And so my suggestion was is making the Z just tip slightly so that it would pick up the Z, the pitched roof thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter this evening? Last call. Thank you. Hearing none, we will close the public hearing and move on to agenda item number 8. Action regarding the adoption of Ordinance 2017-07, rezoning certain properties located at 1649 and 1677 South Webster, also known as parcel numbers AL44, AL44-1, and AL45, from village-owned to commercial. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to adopt Ordinance 2017-07.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Agenda item number 9, public hearing to consider approval of conditional use request from Mound Associates to construct apartments on parcel AL121 located at 3010 Riverside Drive. We'll open the hearing. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this agenda item this evening? Sir, come on up.
Joe Work, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Riverside Bed Committee. I'd like to make sure that that project has sidewalks for the kids to get to school, and that site is also park-starved, so kids and grandparents need access to get to the parks, and the parks are very far away, so you need sidewalks in there. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Come on up.
My name is Eric Pelner, Pelner Properties, 3000 Riverside Drive. I don't know if we can get a map. We're the property directly north of the proposed development.
Okay.
I have two primary requests as a part of the proposed development. I'll begin by simply stating, in consonance with best use, best interest, I would prefer to see something other than apartment buildings between the two office buildings on Riverside Drive, that being our office building, again, to the north of the proposed development, and then the Willowbrook building, which is to the south side of the proposed development. I prefer to see another commercial building, as it is zoned for. And since it is also zoned for residential conditional, I'd much rather see high-end condos versus the apartments as is proposed. However, since the proposal is for residential apartments, I'd like to state some of the conditions I'd like to see as a requirement upon the potential approval. One of the conditions has already been agreed upon by the developer at the prior Planning Commission meeting. I appreciate the developer's willingness to understand and address our concerns regarding this matter. The condition I'd like to see is for a privacy fence or potentially a partial retaining wall between the two property lines. Again, our property line right along the north side of their property line, where our parking lot would essentially adjoin with part of their parking lot. Having a privacy wall would provide a clear separation from residential and commercial property. A privacy wall would help to prevent residents and guests of 3010 Riverside from parking vehicles in the parking stalls of Pelner Properties at 3000 Riverside. A privacy wall would also deter residents from loitering onto the property of 3000 Riverside. Since the developer has graciously agreed to put up a privacy wall or privacy fence, it should be an easy condition to add as a requirement upon approval. So that's my first request. The second condition I would like to request was, for whatever reason, left out of the Planning Commission's meeting minutes from August 28th. However, I would like to make it very clear that I'm against the additional access point to the Fox River Trail as proposed. And if, Trevor, I don't know if you can bring up that other map that shows the proposal, the access to the trail. So if you can just highlight where the access to the trail would be.
I'm over here.
Yep.
Right there.
So that's where the proposed additional access point is. I want to be clear about this, too. I'm not against the Fox River Trail or additional access points to the trail. I think it's a great trail, and it's a great asset to the community. However, without adequate parking or a proper plan for additional parking near the additional access point, it is simply an incomplete plan, and it will come at the expense of Pelner Properties. In my opinion, providing an additional trail access point without an additional parking lot will undoubtedly increase the unauthorized use of Pelner Properties parking lot for people far from the area as a parking area to access the trail, especially given the close proximity to Highway 172. An added access point at this proposed location would be the closest access point from the highway for people coming from much further distances to access the trail. That is because the closest parking lot would be the parking lot of Pelner Properties to the access point. Currently, Pelner Properties building is fully leased, which requires all available parking stalls to be available for tenants of the building, their employees, and their clients. The scheduled reconstruction of Riverside Drive with the addition of sidewalks in the year 2021 will result in the loss of parking stalls in the upper parking lot of Pelner Properties. Therefore, preventing the trail users of the proposed access point from having easy access to park in the parking lot of Pelner Properties is important to maintain the availability of parking for those using the Pelner Properties building. The developer's proposal to have available parking for trail users in the parking lot of the proposed apartments simply falls short of any meaningful plan for trail parking. Plus, the apartment's building's parking lot will be further away, and it will be less likely trail users will opt to park there instead of the Pelner Properties parking lot, which is closer. Regardless if signs are posted to deter unauthorized parking, it will cost time, money, and added frustration to enforce. An additional access point to the Fox River Trail should not come at the expense of private business owners. Without additional parking for people to access the trail, I believe it will come at the expense of Pelner Properties. An additional trail access point should not be granted without a proper parking area provided by the village near the access point. In conclusion, I'd like to see a second condition to eliminate the additional trail access point as part of the proposed plan, simply because it is an incomplete plan that does not provide proper parking at the access point. Are there any questions or comments regarding my statements?
Yes, sir, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter this evening?
Good evening. John Leroy with Mount Associates.
Hi, John.
400 Security Boulevard. We had a pretty productive meeting at our Plan Commission last time to discuss these challenges for the site, for the neighbors, and for folks in the area. And so we did go ahead and try to reflect the views that the adjacent property owners and the Plan Commission brought up. And we feel we've taken on some of those cues. So you'll see here we have a proposed site layout that has some adjustments to it, with the biggest things being we wanted to go and adjust the parking concerns. Now, last time, we did show about 2.25 stalls per lot. That is over the required minimum requirement for the site itself. We are now 2.5 stalls per unit in this lot. So what we did was, if you go back to the initial proposal, we had a lot of garage spaces trying to go ahead and have it be for units themselves. Inherently, though, that does have issues with parking at all times of the day, because it just stays with that one unit. So rather than having so many detached garage stalls, we trail back on the number to go ahead and still have some. We want to have an amenity for the patrons who will have one individual garage stall per unit inside the buildings and still offer that to some tenants. However, there's additional surface parking that has been drawn into the plan that allows for parking to occur at all times of the day. So with that, that eked out 9 more stalls on the site itself to get the total stall count to 2.5. Addressing other concerns that were brought up, the building that is facing over on the riverside, all these buildings do have front door entrances. We wanted to have that as part of the look. At some point in the future, we do want to go ahead and have a sidewalk going along riverside, knowing there will be construction with the street coming in the future. But the buildings are designed to go ahead and have, on that building facing Riverside, access out to the road and be a part of the community itself. So we did take a deep look at these concerns, trying to go ahead and use the spaces available on the site as well as possible. When it comes to access to the trail itself, developers are willing to go ahead and make negotiations to make this best for everybody. We do feel it's an asset for the village, the neighbors, and for tenants here to have direct access to the trail, to make an actual point of that emphasis that we want folks to go ahead and walk or bike to the trail itself. That point just simply is not there right now. If you want to go ahead and take your car and get to other points on the trail system, you can do that. But a close area for people to use ped or bike access points to get just is lacking in this area, and we want to go ahead and offer those potentials, possibilities to get to the site itself. But there is room for negotiation with that. We're just trying to go ahead and get the best possible product for everybody around here.
Quick question, Harris.
Yes.
You said you would still have some outdoor garages?
Yes, there are. Yeah, detached garages. You can check the dual site. Rather than having, before it was,
is that, I'm sorry, we're charging on the mouse. That was okay.
This is
zooming in.
This
okay,
was
thank
the
you.
Original.
That was okay. The original.
And then this, so there's the detached garages here.
The one in our packet reflects the old drawing, not the new drawing.
Okay, that's so. Then you'd be down to 2 instead of 3. Okay.
Well, it was more. It's 12 total stalls right now that would be detached garages. We tried to go ahead and rather than having the encapsulated island in the middle, we're now allowing for more of a green space in the middle and to break up the parking area a bit more. So keeping those more connected and tight rather than spread out was the goal of these detached garages right there.
And just, I guess, for curiosity's sake, are you going to then, in essence, whenever one is open, is it tied in with certain number of stalls or certain number of garage units are tied in with each building, or are you just going to, whoever wants one can have one, and one comes open, it's first come, first served?
Right.
In
so,
terms of who, for lack of better words, owns it during their contract.
Correct. So the individual detached garages would go to, at the discretion of the developer itself, as far as whether we go to a tenant or assigned essentially to a unit itself. The rest of the stalls of the property would be first come, first serve for the tenants and guests themselves. Each individual tenant will have one attached garage stall in the building that they will be inside of.
Thank you.
You mentioned you got nine more out of
correct
this
yes.
configuration. That's nine more in addition to the ones that
right.
were uncovered.
Oh, so before, yeah, exactly. So
they took up more space when they were
right. They
building.
Do when you have an attached or sorry, detached garage, just inherently because you have to have the area for the building itself. Those are wider areas. You take away those spaces, you do get more surface stalls available at that point then too. So in combination with that, we end up getting more stalls that way, yes.
I feel more comfortable with this drawing than the last one. It does seem to address that issue.
And we took your concerns, obviously they're very worthy concerns right there, and we wanted to go ahead and make the best possible product with that. So.
Is that the only location for access to the trail? The only possible location for access to the trail off of that property?
Well, it's out of this property, yes. We've looked at this many ways to go ahead and go about this, and yeah, that's off of this is would be the way to go.
Ray, aside, I guess, from speaking with other private property owners, that is the only location. The village has in Craig, maybe you can speak this a little bit more, but I believe the village owns this piece of land back here and then has easement with the DNR for this piece to the north.
That's right. So the path then goes just right behind the office building property.
Right, so you have existing infrastructure that is occurring right here. Where the path would go ahead and meet to village standards as far as paving wise. And then coming across connecting this way to get to the existing infrastructure to get over and cross to the trail itself.
Okay. And is there a driveway to the north of the office building that I see? Or a path?
Sure.
That is a paved driveway. That is our paved driveway to that area. Yeah, which goes down, and there's a wide turnaround down there where that trail would come across. There's a wide turnaround there. That's our access to the equipment pond, and then that path around is a gravel roadway.
Okay. And is this a buildable parcel? We own it, but
No, we do not own that. DNR. That is Heritage Shearwater, the Department of Natural Resources. We have a permanent easement for the pond area.
Okay.
That is buildable in the future, yes.
So what else can we do to alleviate concerns about parking in that?
Right. That's where the additional parking we felt we're making a strong concession to go ahead and make this work for everybody.
Yeah.
Not just for the people who will be parking there, but for any concerns about off-street parking on the site itself to make it a very strong number. Just to go back to if folks want to take their car and park somewhere, they can do that right now. The issue is they don't have a good spot to go ahead and just walk or bike to it. If you want to do that, you're going a ways in both directions to have an access point. So you still have your options right now to take your car. It's just you're stuck finding a good access point. And being on the site and seeing folks, they get there. Now, be walking, it happens. People get to it. But as far as the cars, that's where trying to get that parking number to be higher and have more surface stalls available that would not just be a detached garage stall that people could not use. People can use those stalls.
And would you think to erect a sign at your entrance saying trail access? Or?
Yes. Yes, they would.
Just an idea.
Yeah.
Any other questions for this fine gentleman?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any? We're still in public hearing, right? Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter?
Murray Baston, 3619 Woods Edge Way. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm one of the developers of this piece of property, and I just wanted to...
I'm sorry, would you be able to speak into the mic because of your recordings? Thank you.
I just wanted to show respect to the Pelmer properties, and I understand their concerns. The privacy fence, we have agreed, and we'll work on that, how that will be constructed. The trail access... Everybody knows where the trail access is going to be, okay. We would like to have a shorter route, but it's not there. And as far as parking, we do have 9 cells that are available, that we're making available to the trail users as well. I think a sign is really good. I think we can put that up there, and we'll go along with that. Also, I don't know if anybody has mentioned, we will pave that gravel pathway to the trail. So that's one thing that we're going to bring to the village. We want to get we want to work with the village, and we want to work with our neighbors. So.
Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Any questions?
The pathway that you would pave, that good gesture, thank you very much. Who would be responsible, not necessarily for winter maintenance, but just maintenance of the trail itself over the years, then?
Well, I believe that it's dedicated to the village, right? I mean, that's not our property, but we would be doing a one-time paving.
Okay, I wasn't clear on that, so I just thought I'd ask.
And
thank you.
Good question, sure.
And so we would be responsible for snow removal and all that. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak on? We have a lot of public input tonight. That's good. Anything else? Anyone else like to speak on this? I thank you all very much for your input, and we will close the public hearing. We will move on to action item number 10. Conditional use request for 3010 Riverside Drive. Do I have a motion on this item? My neck's getting sore. Trustee Genner.
I'll move to approve the conditional use request for 3010 Riverside Drive.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say, I want to say, being a member of the Plan Commission, we looked at this, and one of our biggest issues was the parking. And I think they addressed it in a manner that's helpful. I mean, it's still crowded, but not only did they get 9 additional spots, it gives flexibility in that parking situation. And before, they were assigned to a unit. And according to the conditional use standards here, there is certain reasons why we wouldn't grant that. And one of them is to do with parking. I think they addressed that, and I think the other conditions or standards have been met. So that's why I would agree to approve it.
Thank you. Trustee Harris.
I understand the gentleman's point regarding the parking up for his building to the north. I also see the potential problem of with the village-owned property where there is that driveway to the north and the Y turn. We may have to put up signs stating no parking. Maybe there is an option for Bowen Associates to have a sign about no parking on the Pelner property. But they've got a couple designated sites, a handful of designated sites on the apartments. The other thing I see, though, in terms of usage is probably half a mile away is the boat launch area, where we've got a great deal of parking, an established area that people know, and I'm on that trail quite a bit. I don't see many vehicles, whether it's during a weekday at 6 in the morning, if it's 6 at night, or, you know, you'll get boats in the spring where that parking lot is full. So I'm not sure how many parking spaces will get used. Still, one as opposed to zero would still constitute trespassing because they're not supposed to be using that property. So there's a, I'm balancing it back and forth because I definitely see the gentleman's point.
Thank you. Other comments? Just to continue on Trustee Harris's comment, the parking would be a concern of mine. I understand the property to the south of the proposed development. They put up a sign recently saying no access to the trail, right? And people do have asked for access to the trail. And I do think that if someone put up a sign saying here's the access to the trail, I think people would use it. Because people do want access, and I think it's mainly people from the neighborhood across Riverside Drive. We had the same discussion not too long ago when we were talking about putting in a trail at Sunset Park, down to the trail. People were concerned. It's understandable. You create an access and people are going to think you can park there. But they thought they'd be parking right on the street right there, and there was very little of that because I use that trail a lot. I do think, I understand, if your building is occupied, you need every spot, and it is true, according to current design or the proposed design of Riverside, you would lose a little bit, so everything is premium. But I do think if a proposed trail access is highlighted, the people who are going to use that, I think they'll use that, and they prefer not to trespass, and I think it would behoove any neighboring property owners to say, if you don't want people going down through your lot, say no trail access, period. Otherwise, I thank you for building the wall and protecting that parking from that perspective. And that's really the only condition that was being proposed, right? The
parking was a concern and that wall was a concern.
Okay. Thoughts, questions, answers?
I appreciate Mr. Bastin's comments about wanting to be good neighbors and work with the existing neighbors. And I know at the Plan Commission there was a lot of concerns from the Kellner property owners as well as Willowbrook, I believe is the name on the south side. So if we can all can put this thing together. I think there's still a number of hoops to jump through in terms of DNR-related topography and all that. So but this at least lets you keep the ball rolling.
And so this still goes through planning, design, all of that, right? Approval?
Trevor will have to answer that.
Explain for the folks what the path forward is.
Right, so this is just a condition that they can build this in order to start construction and receive a building permit. They still have to go through the site plan design and review process, which is two-step process. First step is going through the Plan Commission, getting their recommendation, and then the second step would be again at the Village Board here. So that would be more detailed plans. It'd probably answer some of those engineering and DNR questions as well. But that all has to be done before they can receive a building permit.
Okay. And when would this project, when would it be slated to start and finish?
That's a good question for the developer, I think.
To start this spring.
Start this spring?
Work on the engineering of the site over the next few months and start this spring.
And when do you think it would be complete?
As soon as possible.
Just a ballpark. How long do you think it would take?
A year and a half.
Okay.
18 months.
Okay. So the public will have input, neighboring property owners. And I would say the village can help spread the word. If there's going to be a new trail access, we want to promote that. And if there's a sign there doing that, we'll promote the heck out of it. So
we will help do our part if this passes. Any other comments? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for your input. And keep an eye on it. We want people moving into the village. That's a good thing. And doing business in the village. New business, item number 11, action regarding appeal to exceed number of animals allowed at 300 Orchard Lane. Would we like to hear on this item? Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Sorry.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I'm Dan Fox, 300 Orchard Lane.
And I'm Rachel Fox, 300 Orchard Lane.
We recently moved to Alloway from DePere. We lived in DePere for the last 12 years.
Yeah, I agree.
We're very excited to be in this village, actually. But in the course of the move, about a month after we came here, our oldest dog died. And as a result, we ended up getting another dog. We already had two prior to that, so this would be our third animal. Due to a misunderstanding, we thought that you had to get the animal licensed first and then go through the wavering process of the additional animal. That's what brings us here today. In learning about the wavering process, we learned that we have to receive permission from all adjacent properties in order to have this animal. We have five of the six neighbors that agree to this. However, one neighbor whose property barely touches a corner of ours, it's not a large property boundary, it's just a corner, refuses to sign, and that's based on the breed of the animal, not the number of animals or nuisance or anything like that. That's what brings us today. We understand that as a result, the ordinance is written, the administrator had to deny our request at that time, and the appeal is to you to approve that request.
Okay. Any questions?
What type of dog?
She's a pit bull. We already have two dogs. They're a Shih Tzu and a miniature Schnauzer as well. The dog that passed was a Husky Lab mix, and we did have a conditional waiver from the city of DePere for 10 years of his life as well. So if DePere, it's a little different. All you have to do is request it. The police do a background check, make sure that that there are no complaints or anything. The health department gets involved. It took less than 2 hours from the city to get the approval, so we did not think it was as involved with regard to Alloway. The only other additional thing that I would like to say about that, I understand their concern, but if you met the dog, you would know that she's not the vicious animal that pit bulls are made out to be. We've received her from the Fox Valley Humane Society. They've done all the temperament testing and everything as well, and they have proven her to be safe, or they would not have put her up for adoption. Finally, the last thing I would like to say as a personal comment is, in this country, majority rules, and when 5 out of 6 people say it's okay, I think it should be okay, regardless of what that one person says, because they are in the minority. And quite honestly, folks, if your neighbor doesn't like you, that's going to be pretty darn hard to get permission for anything from them. Thank you.
And just so you're aware, within the week of getting the dog and bringing her home, I had went to almost all of our neighbors and introduced Lucy, which is the pit bull's name, to everyone so that they were aware of who she was and they were comfortable, because I understand there is a stigma with the breed. The neighbor that refuses to sign welcomed me and the dog into his home for 30 minutes, not like a quick visit, for 30 minutes, and the dog was pet by his grandson and interacted with the homeowners, and there was no issue. The issue came 6.5-7 weeks later when I found out that adjacent meant the kitty corner homes as well, and that's where the issue came into play. So otherwise, he didn't have a problem. It was just when I asked him to sign his paper.
Okay. And what's your address?
300 Orchard Lane.
So are you in the middle of the block, or?
We are 4th house down from Wabanor. So if you go west or east, excuse me, we're the 4th. We're directly across from where Sugar Bush intersects Orchard Lane.
Okay. Okay. And the reason the other resident did not want to sign?
Was because of the breed.
he felt that the animal could, in his own words, snap at any moment and become vicious. To help appease or help you understand, we have an invisible fence. The dog is on this very strong lead at all times. She's leashed whenever we take her out personally. She interacts well with all family members and the other animals that we have in the home.
And how long have you had her?
About 2 months now.
Almost 3 months.
And she's how old?
She's four.
4 years old.
Do you have a physical fence?
We do not. We have priced one out, but it's a little cost prohibitive at this point.
It's something that we would be interested in getting, but he wasn't willing to converse with us. Basically, I said, so am I supposed to get rid of the dog? When he said he wouldn't sign, and he said, well, you got to do what you got to do, and he shut the door in my face. So it was very
abrupt.
And it caught me really off guard, because I hadn't, like I said, I hadn't gotten the impression that he had an issue with the breed at all, considering it was in his home for an extended period of time.
We understand his concern regarding the breed. They have a bad reputation in a lot of communities. However, I would like to point out that according to PetHelpful.com, on the list of the 10 most aggressive dogs, the pit bull ranks number 9. Interestingly enough, number 1 is the Chihuahua. Just so you're aware of where we're at. They're evil little dogs. We know that. But I wanted you to understand, Chihuahua's number 1, Dachshund's number 2. So just because a dog's not cute and fluffy, that doesn't mean that she should be banished to a life somewhere else when we can give her a loving, caring home here in Helena.
Is a spaniel on there?
Spaniel is not. Jack Russell's number 7, though.
I've seen good pit bulls and bad spaniels.
And I'll tell you, when we went to adopt the animal, I was not keen on the idea, but it only took about 30 minutes of spending time with her and realizing that the reputation is not earned in this animal.
Jeez. We had just met her, and we were able to do what I would consider almost like a temperament test. We could put our hands in her mouth. We could lift up her jaw and look at her teeth. We could lift her from behind. We could carry her. We could do, you know, push her down on the ground. She didn't do anything. And to this day, she still, if I have to put her in a kennel, she doesn't want to go. I lift her up, and I put her in, and she'll fight. She'll scoop back, you know, her butt back, and just push her in, and she'll finally go in.
That's us right there, yeah. So Sugarbush is just at the intersection just to the north there.
And where's the neighbor located that?
I'll show you.
Go ahead.
He is right here. In this house right here.
And you're?
We are right here.
And there's trees and shrubbage. Like, we can't even see their backyard.
And you said the dog, are all of your dogs on
leads
at all times?
They are on leads at all times.
So a lead is defined as what?
It's a cable that's tied around a tree and then latched to their collar or harness, depending on what they're wearing.
So like the lead,
it's an actual physical restraint.
Yeah. So the one she's on is actually intended when we had our previous dog. He was 103 pounds, so she's on a 103-pound lead, and she weighs 55 pounds. So she's on a lead that's very strong and durable for her size.
And
it's
around a tree, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, it's around a tree.
It's not going
anywhere. It's not going
anywhere. We learned that lesson with our last dog. He pulled the stake right up out of the ground and ran down Ridgeway Boulevard. So.
Is that in the backyard or the front?
It's in the backyard. The dogs are not allowed in the front yard without one of us present, without a human being present, I should say.
On a leash.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. They don't get let outside without leash.
We can't trust them to stay in the yard, so they don't get to be off a leash. That's just all there is to that.
And that's also part of our ordinance.
Correct.
Okay, any other questions for these folks? Jim?
Deputy Vogel was involved with the, or at least sent us a letter, a note to that effect. Is there anything you want to add to that, James?
There's been no calls to service on the history that I've found, no animal complaints. The issue, as they said, one adjacent property owner didn't sign off, which the guidelines for the application.
Mm-hmm.
They've been, you know, I've been in contact with Rachel and everyone else, so everyone's been cooperative, but okay. Application is an application. And that's been explained.
And we understand that Deputy Sands were tied in this. He has to follow the letter of the law, and we hold the will toward him for this. We're just trying to exercise our right to appeal to the board.
Very good. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
All of your pets are registered within the Village of Alloway and are all up to date on their shots? And
the dogs are, yes.
Yeah.
And the cats,
and the
too.
Cats are as
yeah.
well.
Okay.
Yeah, we went back and forth on that as well. Sorry.
Mr. Gast, is that property that they're talking about where they did not receive the signature Is that considered an adjacent property?
I didn't know I was going to talk about this. But.
Hey, Trevor?
I haven't seen
excuse me, President Raptor?
I won't have some.
Trevor, I noticed you were zooming in on the property location. Mm-hmm. If you go more, deeper in and switch over to the exact plat, do the properties physically touch? Oh, it is just a line straight. Yeah. Okay, and I don't know if the definition of adjacent, sort of like a
platform, and then
right. Would be sharing.
Correct. We debated over that in our own home what the definition of adjacent was to us as well. In fact, when Rachel originally went out to get signatures, we only touched the neighbors that were along an actual borderline of our property. So when the deputy went to investigate, that's when we learned that not only did we have to get the people in the back corners, but we had to go across the street and talk to that person as well. Because we did not feel that that was an adjacent property, considering there's a street between us and them.
And if I may add, the property to the west of us, I can't remember the last name, Michelle Abood. She's deathly afraid of dogs, and she still signed it. And the resident across the street, Gozi, she is very anti-pet and doesn't understand why anybody would want a pet, and she still signed it because they both did not feel that their feelings towards having animals and not having animals should affect the number of animals we have on our property. So those statements were made.
I think my interpretation of the word adjacent, although I don't have Webster's in front of me, would not include the mere fact that they touch at the corner. I think the common definition of adjacent means that you share a common boundary. You know, so if you share an entire property line in between the two lots, that would be adjacent. I don't think touching the corner makes a property adjacent to another.
Okay.
Do we want to see what Webster says about it?
Well, that's what
the ask
about.
Okay, any other questions for these folks? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
The definition of adjacent. Lying near, closer, contiguous, adjoining, neighboring, a motel adjacent to the highway. Just before, after, or facing, a map of adjacent page. Thank you, Webster. Do I have a motion to pick up the rules?
Yes, you do.
Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Green. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I'm going to move to approve with the definition of adjacent by Attorney Gask being the correct one.
Trustee Green.
Second.
Motion to approve. By Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I'm not comfortable with making exceptions to an ordinance. If we need to change an ordinance for a particular reason, that'd be fine. But if we're making an exception, I'm not necessarily comfortable with it. I think with coming up with a clear definition of adjacent, I think that's where we need to look. But in terms of an exception, and looking back, as far as I can tell, this board's never made any other exceptions. That's what I'd be uncomfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Debbie?
Can I just state that the ones that I had done in the past, they were just the neighboring ones, Jason has just taken this over, and I hadn't seen the map. Otherwise, I probably would have questioned it, and I should have looked at the map first. But otherwise, I would have just had the three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I would suggest
just.
But then, so then,
to let you
this,
know.
Then we would historically have been following that same
principle,
right?
That same definition, and as long as we have that precedent, I'm much more comfortable with the idea of not making an exception.
And I would suggest we do change the ordinance there to say that, because it is confusing now looking at it. So.
Yeah, put it in the definitions what adjacent refers to.
According to Gast.
Attorney Gast.
just in response to Trustee Harris's comment, it's not so much an exception to the ordinance, but built within the ordinance itself as an appeal mechanism to allow a waiver of these strict requirements. So it's already in there. It's not, because I agree, if there wasn't this waiver provision in the ordinance itself, I would tell you you can't do it. But when the ordinance was adopted, there was a waiver provision in there with an ultimate appeal to the village board. So not really an exception, but they're actually complying with the ordinance by bringing it to the board's attention for implementation of a waiver from the strict requirements of the ordinance.
Great. Thank you for the clarification.
Any other discussion? Trustee Abbott?
I would just encourage you next time to check before you do that, before you bring in the pet.
We now have our codes online, so you can read all of the ordinances and become an expert.
Excellent. Homework.
You can search by word, too, so put pets in and you'll get it.
But welcome to Alloy.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none.
Just a minute. If the pattern has been followed, do we even need to vote on it? If the quote-unquote adjacent neighbors have signed off, is there even a reason for us to act?
I think we should.
Okay, that's...
Trust our attorney guest. Seeing that it was brought before us, and we should probably go on record as doing that.
I think you can go on record. I think Trustee Harris has a good point as well. With that definition of adjacent, technically, it didn't necessarily have to be appealed to. Because, like Debbie indicated, you know, she would typically approve it if the true adjacent owner is approved. So, technically, the appeal shouldn't be before the board, but as long as it is, I think the board can weigh in on it.
Well, that gives us an opportunity to provide direction on cleaning up, not cleaning up the ordinance, but making it more clear for folks and staff. Any other discussion?
Just a quick comment that it sounds like you are very responsible pet owners, and I encourage you to continue to be that and know that neighbor may be keeping an extra watchful eye and all that good stuff. So
we're respectful of it. We see them outside. We make sure we don't put the dogs up, and we'll just take them down the street to walk them.
Perfect.
Yep. Everyone's got their right to an opinion, and that's why we go through these things, right? That's why we have public hearings. That's why we have these meetings, and that's why we have people here tonight. So, okay. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Action item number 12, offer to purchase property on Monroe. Mr. Burnt.
As you are aware, the North Riverside Drive pedestrian crossing is located at Monroe on Riverside, and the proposed location for that is on the south side, not Monroe, Marine Street, on the south side of Marine Street crossing Riverside. The concept that we have for that is that we would construct a crosswalk across the Marine. And then when you are on the north side of Marine on that parcel, we would construct a sidewalk down to and connect with Fox River Trail and probably also extend that over and connect onto Marine Street itself, the north-south leg. When we started this investigation into this a year ago, really, in looking at locations for crossings on Riverside Drive, we did investigate that parcel on the north side of Marine, on the east side adjacent to Riverside, and it was, I believe it was a $7,000 sale price at that time. Recently, in the last 2 weeks actually, Trevor noticed the for sale sign there, and he looked it up online, saw that it was for sale, brought it to me, and I contacted the realtor and put together in this packet for you some notes on it, and that's the realtor's draft of an offer to purchase. for that parcel. It's considerably less than what that parcel was available for a year ago. Before you this evening, my recommendation is that we proceed with trying to purchase this property, but at the same time, as a condition of an offer to purchase, we need to make sure that we define the easement that exists for that road sign that is there, and make sure that it is, the site is available for our use to provide pedestrian access as a sidewalk down to the Fox River Trail. So this is an excellent opportunity for us to pick up a parcel that fits in with what we want to do on Riverside Drive. The question for you is the sale price, and then, of course, authorization to go ahead and prepare our offer to purchase with the conditions that we have as far as use of the property. Attorney Gast and I would work on that and put that together if you so decide to proceed. I would also have two other additional comments. One is we did receive the permit for the crosswalk installation, and we did receive the permit for the rectangular rapid flashing beacon crossing on Friday from the Department of Transportation. So that's the big milestone for us. We can construct at that location. Our next step will be, when you authorize the engineering work for that, will be to complete the engineering and then apply for the permit to construct within the right-of-way. And then that will become a real project. The other item is the cost. And I broke it down for you. Yes, it looks like a higher cost for the Realtors Commission, but I would suggest look at it from the standpoint that here's an opportunity to buy this at considerably lower price than what we originally thought. And there's going to be some considerable work to iron out the easement to make sure that we actually have a buildable site for us. That's going to take a little bit of work to get that easement modified, because we'll be dealing with the advertising agency that owns that sign. So that's what we're looking at.
Trevor, would you show me again? I was looking when you pointed out exactly where this was. Okay, and the billboard's where?
It's actually coincidentally the same.
That's what I was wondering.
Same parcel.
That's exactly what I was wondering.
So that parcel goes all the way down to the trail?
Correct. DNR, it's railroad.
Right there.
Right there, yeah.
Okay. And do we know, and I'm sorry if you said this, Craig, do we know if the DNR will allow us to construct the trail rest of the way?
We have not applied for that trail connection, but I think based on the discussions we've had with Brown County Parks Department, that would be the agent we would work through to obtain that permit for access. I believe that that would be a very high probability that we would get that. Yes, I do.
So the crossing across Monroe would be south of Marine, and then you cross Marine?
Yes.
And down.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much right in front of Lindemann's.
Mm-hmm.
And the sidewalk on the west side of Riverside, is there any concern about us having the right to build a sidewalk there?
No, I don't think that will be a problem. That's where the future sidewalk is planned as part of the Riverside Drive project. I'm sure that we'll get an okay from the DOT to do that.
Okay, so we're looking.
Well,
yes.
Do you have a motion?
Not yet.
No. Do you have some questions?
All right, I do have a question.
Yep.
Well, number 12 on our agenda. Well, number 14 on our agenda affect number 12 on our agenda.
That's actually a good question. I wasn't aware of this. I mean, I guess I didn't look at the agenda close enough to realize that 12 was on here and didn't talk with Craig beforehand.
Okay. I think that could be a complication.
Well, the property's for sale, and we are offering asking price, according to you, right?
Yeah.
And the company wants to sell the property.
Who owns the property now?
A trust.
Beverly French living trust owns it. What our concern is not so much what her as the property owner or the trust of the property owner, but they granted a perpetual easement to the advertising company, which provides that they have exclusive rights of ingress and egress over the parcel. And that's what raised my attention, is that if they have exclusive, then theoretically they can prevent access by others, including our sidewalk. So the thought would be if the board grants permission to pursue the transaction, one of the contingencies would be to procure an amendment to the easement from the advertising company to allow us to put a sidewalk in there and actually to allow pedestrian access, so their rights wouldn't necessarily be exclusive in terms of access to that particular property.
And do they have an easement for access to the entire parcel?
Yes.
In theory, no one else can touch that, right?
Well, it was all interrelated back then. I mean, French family owned Ford, so it was kind of a deal where a bunch of properties were conveyed and perpetual easements granted back over to the advertising company.
Okay.
So if we could procure the amendment, then that shouldn't be a problem. And as a practical matter, I don't see why it would be a problem for the advertising company. We'll have to entertain those discussions once the board commissions us to further pursue the transaction.
So when we make our motion, should we include that caveat in there that it depends on if we can get that easement or that amendment?
I think that the motion would be that the staff proceed with pursuing the transaction as stated in the draft version of the vacant land offer for purchase, with the additional contingencies that an amendment to the easement is okay.
Any other questions? Trustee Harris.
I assume we have 2017 funds available to make the purchase?
Yes.
Okay, and then part two, on the flip side, if we would, as the village, now own this property, would the village then be getting revenue from the billboards? Or with the easement,
interestingly enough, it was that interconnectedness, the families and the business. There is no payments due for the perpetual easement. The only obligation that the sign company has is to remove snow and to cut grass. Other than that, they have no obligation. I always thought that there was a financial component, but if you actually read the easement, there isn't. They don't make any payments anymore.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion on this item.
Thank you.
Trustee Harris.
I make a motion that we direct staff or grant staff permission to pursue the purchase of the property contingent on including language to adjust the easement language to allow for our construction of a sidewalk and adequate access to the property.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dirk. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 13. Action regarding vendor permit for Twas the Night Before Christmas Craft Boutique at Green Isle Park on November 4th, 2017 from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Do I have a motion on this item?
I suppose this isn't an overly raucous group.
I
will move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? Any concern from staff? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 14, action regarding amendment to Article 9 of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances, signs, from Plan Commission on 9/25/17. Mr. Fuller, would you enlighten us, please?
Sure. This was something that came about earlier this year. Lamar Signs went through the sign exception process, trying to get a sign exception to have an LED-based sign, for lack of better, I don't know exactly the technical term, but LED-based sign on their existing billboard here on Monroe Avenue. They were denied the sign exception because the sign exception really is for extreme difficulties of like topography or something like that. It didn't fit within that criteria. Lamar at that meeting asked if the village board would look into amending the sign code to allow for billboards within the village parameters. Throughout the summer, I've had dialogue with a representative from Lamar. He sent me several ordinances, and really a lot of municipalities handle billboards in several different ways. Green Bay has a very robust, complex ordinance, and other municipalities just flat out don't allow them. So it really varies by municipality. I provided, as just a start of the dialogue, I provided the Planning Commission with a draft ordinance that was taken from the town of Greenwich Chute, which caps the amount of billboards allowed in a municipality, and then in order to have a new one or have a rebase of a new one, you have to remove another one, and it's kind of like that. The Planning Commission at the meeting in September, I guess, made the recommendation that the village does not proceed with amending the sign code because the sign code was amended recently, once in 2009 and then again in 2016. And this was a part of the amendment at that time. So I guess tonight we're here to see if the village board wants to continue with the Planning Commission's recommendation and kind of drop the issue or send it back to the Planning Commission for further discussion.
Okay, thank you. How many folks are here tonight on this issue?
Oh, I knew it.
Thanks for staying.
That's my bedtime.
Besides our regulars, you guys are the only ones left. Thanks. Yep, it is. And I've seen some emails, and before we continue, some people have asked, why are we even here talking about this? And it's because that's how government works. People need to have a voice. They need to have the ability to ask the question. And Lamar came, and it's our job as a village board to listen to that, whether you be a resident or a village or a business. And we're here tonight, and it's come back to us because Lamar Sign came to us, said they wanted to put up the billboard, our ordinance didn't allow it. He offered to suggest other terminology and offered to help. And we, as a village board, said we're not promising anything, but if you'd like to do that, go through the process. And everything we do is a process. Tonight, you've been part of three public hearings. That's why we're here, to listen to the folks who live here and listen to the businesses and have everyone come together. So we are here as part of the process. It went back to planning. Planning has recommended not to. And we are here tonight to make a decision on our part. And seeing that we have people here tonight interested in this, I would entertain a motion to open the floor or suspend the rules. Trustee Genrich.
Move to suspend the rules for discussion.
Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue tonight? Someone's been Valerie is the spokesman. She's been volunteered.
Yeah. I guess so. I'm Valerie Hutchison, 812 Derby Lane.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that into the mic? Thank you.
Valerie Hutchison, 812 Derby Lane. You know, it's a big issue. All my neighbors are, and friends and people in the Robinson Hill Neighborhood Association are concerned with the issue. You know, it's been proven in study after study that billboards of any kind, by the way, lower property values. Property values are lowered by about $987 per billboard. You know, that's been proven. So the fact that there are even billboards in Alloway should change. The fact, and the digital multiple message billboards in particular are dangerous. You know, advertising companies do quote an old highway study that has been proven to be faulty. And the studies since by the same folks have shown that obviously they do distract our driver's attention. Otherwise, they wouldn't be promoting those billboards for use. If they're not going to distract your eye, they distract your eye for about 6 seconds, which is three times longer than it takes to have an accident by looking away. They absolutely, especially at that location, would reduce the wildlife population tremendously. There's a obliteration of the stars. There's light pollution. They certainly don't fit in with Alloway's historic nature in our neighborhood, so historic beauty. And when you say, I understand what you're saying, President Rafter, about you have to listen, and that's why it went to the Planning Commission and it's back here. But if I came up here and said, I want to have a zoo on my at 812 Derby Lane, I'm going to have lions and tigers and bears and a giraffe. And what do you think about that?
I'd vote for it.
I don't think. I appreciate that, but I don't think it would go all this far. I don't think it would go to the, you know, to all this discussion. I don't think it would go to the Planning Commission and back to you. And this is more dangerous than that and might even be more detrimental in vacancies than that. I would only have vacant properties around my, you know, certainly around my property for all the smell. But it wouldn't affect the whole of Alloway like the billboards do. So it's something that I am surprised it went this far, and I stand by that statement. I am surprised. I think it should have just been like, are you kidding? You know, no, it should have been cut off right there, just like my Zoom proposition. But since it isn't, and we're here now, it's the only person who benefits is Lamar. The people who are harmed by it are the 14,000 residents of Alloway. Every one of us, but particularly those of us in our side of town. On our side, we have all the billboards. And we certainly would bear the burden of the detriment. So I think our voice should be certainly held a little heavier because of that. So thanks for listening. I hope you really take this to heart and consider the residents in every one of these decisions, not just this one, every single one of them. The residents have to come first, otherwise people move away. And Alloway's too beautiful of a village to have that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this?
Kathleen Kelly, 1412 South Jackson.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to say anything. Everything that Valeria said, I agree with. I just moved into Alloway a year ago, but I've actually lived in this neighborhood literally my entire life within a 6-block area. I was only in Green Bay, and I just moved into Alloway. My concern after listening to the conversation around that parcel is let's make a deal. So we're here talking about this billboard not happening, but it appears to me that that little piece of parcel is going to be held hostage by Lamar Sign. And they'll say, you can build your sidewalk if we can put our big obnoxious billboard up. And that is what I'm worried about right now. I wasn't so worried when I got here because I thought this is pretty much going to happen. We've set our case. We live in the neighborhood. We're starting our neighborhood association. And you're going to hear a lot more from us with everybody that's up on that hill because there's a handful of people that are not in that care. I'm one of them. Okay? I'm not going away. So this is my concern. So when this comes up, you all know you're smiling. This is exactly what Lamar is going to do. So are you going to take it, or are you going to stand tall and say, no, we're not putting this obnoxious billboard right at the end of the hallway? So that's just my concern. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Just to clarify, I didn't hear anyone say that they were going to hold us hostage. The question was,
that's my concern. Could they? For future, that, and they don't actually know that they're making the offer.
Okay. Thanks. Sir?
I'm John Abbott, 1434 South Jackson. I agree with these two young ladies, what they had to say. And I think also, I'll just leave you with this thought. It is technically a highway, isn't it? Belongs to the state.
Yep.
Well, there's big old trucks come roaring down that road, and there's a school zone not too far away, and very rarely does anyone abide by the speed limit. And so here we put up a big old electronic lit up billboard. I'm starting to feel like I'm living on a highway instead of in a historical area with fine homes and nice aesthetics and nice riparian habitat nearby. And all of a sudden, whether my property value goes down or not, and it probably would, it's going to go down in my mind. It's not going to be the same. It's just not going to be the same. It's a big old electronic billboard there. It's just not going to be the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah.
Karen Sees at 805 Alloy Terrace. Val pretty much summed things up, but just a couple personal thoughts, I guess. Never thought I would be in a battle over a billboard or do anything like this, but when this came up, you know, I was looking and I wasn't even really conscious of the fact that that's a double billboard, first of all, on Riverside. And then I got to thinking, I hadn't even really noticed the one that's by the retaining wall. So that makes three. And then the Lorelei, which is a double one. So I'm thinking, and I looked at some of the information we had about the way how, and I don't know, it was a variance or whatever rules for a billboard in the first place, because I'm thinking, how did it even get up in the first place? I mean, the person that lives near there that's maybe 30 feet from, that's a Green Bay resident, not an Alloy resident. But when we started looking into this, I thought, well, having looked at the what the ordinance or whatever you had, I guess it was put in place after the billboard went up, I don't know, the original one, I paced it out. It was kind of weird, but I walked from the last house along that sidewalk, and I believe your ordinance was something like 800 feet, and I came up with, I think, 600, somewhere in there. So that was a thought. And I just, you know, I'm just sort of wondering how they even got there in the first place. I'm not anti-business, I get that, but just in line with what everybody else said, it doesn't fit. You know, we don't need it. There's some information that we became aware of in terms of the other side, like maybe, you know, people would say you could use it for public service announcements and stuff, which is ridiculous in the age that we live in, with cell phones, radios, TV, all of that. I just think it's not necessary and it's not contributing to the neighborhood as it is, but certainly not it's a giant 30-foot high TV screen, essentially, is put there on Riverside. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak on this issue tonight?
Sumo Road, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. I agree with the Robinson Hill Historic District, both as a Halloway resident and as a realtor. The billboards do not add value. Electronic billboards do not add value to a neighborhood. They're good for business, but they're that business is not an alleyway. So Lamar is not an alleyway business, so there's no reason for them to be given an exception to our zoning code. At the Plan Commission, we discussed why that code is in place right now and why we allow billboards. My understanding is that the village wanted billboards to eventually go away, and if you don't let them upgrade the billboard, whether it's 20 years from now or 30 years from now, eventually those billboards will come down. So that was one thing from an aesthetic and from a value standpoint. I don't think we should be having exceptions to the billboard rule in our historic districts. And then from a life safety issue, from the Bike Ped Committee, we're going to be putting in a pedestrian crossing there, encouraging older people, younger people, people with strollers and bikes to cross the road right there, and you really don't want them looking up from the road at a billboard when you're just spending $100,000 to put in a pedestrian crossing there. So if somebody gets hurt and the excuse that somebody got hurt was they were looking up at the billboard, the responsibility falls back onto this board. So the board should not approve that board, that billboard, primarily on life safety issues and then secondarily on aesthetic reasons. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to me?
Can I just make a comment on that?
When we pick up the room.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to pick up the rolls? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Green. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Do I have any motion on this item? Trustee Green?
I would move that we not pursue changing the sign code.
Okay. Do we have a second? Trustee Dart? Any discussion? Trustee Atwood?
This is where I'd like to address that comment. From a common sense standpoint, come on, Jim. Really? You're going to sit here and stand at that podium and blame this board if somebody gets hurt at that intersection because of a digital billboard? It's on us? Knock it off.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
I take exception to that.
Good.
Okay. Trustee Allen. Any other discussion? I will only say that when the representative, I'm sorry, I forget your name, sir.
John.
When he came and presented to us, I thought, you know what? Digital billboard looks better than a regular billboard. But hearing our residents voice their concern, and the reason it came this far is because no one was complaining, and not complaining, but we hadn't gotten the input, the value of the process. And we also did not have a crossing going in at that time. So to have a blinking crossing, to have the crossing itself going and having the possibility of people being hurt, or distracted, too many blinking lights, I don't know. I don't go with it. I did read another email that came in, and it was from a lady who lives on Monroe, I believe, and said that she can see the billboard today through her bedroom window or something, and a lighted thing would come through. So I believe in the process, and I think the process has worked from this point. Trustee Harris?
I just wanted to follow up your comments on the process where whether it's a business or an individual, starts with a request, whether it's changing out billboards, whether it's making up a zoo, whether it's whatever the request, it's our obligation to follow that through. It might be a quote-unquote silly idea that immediately gets shot down because there are ordinances against it. Or there may be things that it's worth investigating further, weigh the pros and cons, get the business, surrounding businesses, residents' input, and that's where we make our decision. So I just second your explanation of the process, whether or not it's something that ends up being that people in attendance agree with or do not. That's what the process is that we're supposed to follow.
Thank you. When the ordinance was originally written, digital billboards did not exist. So I think the request by Lamar to replace it with a current technology, had we allowed billboards back in the day and there were digital, we'd have digital boards. We don't. And so that change is before us tonight. So any other discussion?
Just maybe a technical question or a parliamentary question. We really didn't schedule a public hearing, but we did allow people to share their concerns. We do have a representative here from the billboard company, and I'm wondering in all fairness if we should give him the opportunity to at least express. No?
No?
I think we have
okay.
That.
Okay.
During when we open the
right, and I know we do have comments in here about safety warnings and things like that, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you, sir, for your efforts. I thank you folks for being here tonight to help with the process. Last time I say the process. Action item number 15, consent agenda. Approval of operator, we'll take them all. Approval of operator's license, approval of village board minutes dated 5/17, 9/19. Accept and place on file minutes from Economic Development Committee dated 9/8, and Plan Commission dated 8/28. And D, approval of accounts payable dated 9/1, 9/8, 9/15, and 9/21. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve, please.
Move to approve, Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I just want to go back for 1 second. I didn't like when I heard today that we were accusing a company of holding us hostage on anything. I think Lamar Science has been a good business partner in the village, and I just wanted to make sure, at least from my perspective, that was heard. Item number 16, summer hour recap, Mr. Lang.
Can't wait for summer again.
We hit summer.
As we've indicated that we would keep track of what the activity was over the course of the summer, which we started the summer hours of a 7 to 4:30 Monday through Thursday and a 7 to 11 on Friday. This past summer, we had a total of 295 individuals that were serviced between those hours, that extra half hour in the morning and extra half hour in the afternoon. So not bad in 12 weeks. We had less than a handful of maybe unnecessary displeasured individuals that either didn't know about it or on Friday, typically on Friday. But overall, I think it went very well. Part of the staff has been doing the summer hours for 4 years, for three previous years, and then the full staff did it for this past summer, and I would recommend we continue.
Great. Any questions? Thank you. Item number 17, update on urban wildlife management. Mr. Clark.
If the board recalls, we discussed urban wildlife, specifically deer, in the village earlier this year, and at that time the board asked for an update or recap in the September time frame. I did meet with several other local communities a few weeks ago. We got together and discussed some of the issues that each community has, potential common management goals, things like that. You know, would it pay for us to look at a regional management of our urban wildlife? And most of the attendees, which were from the local communities, including Ashwaubenon and Dupier, they thought that doing more of a regional thing probably wouldn't work that well, since each individual community is different, and their community members might look at wildlife in different ways. But utilizing the tools that we all have available to us would probably be a better avenue to go down, such as the Act 71s, and just getting information out to the to your residents, to the public, with regards to, you know, how to best manage urban wildlife, whether it's deer, turkeys, coyotes, things like that. Most of the communities reference Act 71. If you recall, that is the ability for a private property owner to hunt wildlife with bow or crossbow if they're with outside of 100 yards of an occupied building or have permission. Village of Ashwaubenon actually changed their ordinances to lessen that to 50 yards, and they've had great success with that. During their deer hunting seasons, they had asked participants or residents that do partake to contact them just to let them know that they've harvested deer. The first year, they said they received about around 30 deer that were harvested within the community. Since then, the numbers have dropped off, not because people aren't still doing it, but they just, it was a voluntary thing, and they said that, you know, people just weren't communicating with them because it was voluntary. One thing Ashwaubenon did is they sent out, when they went down this road, they sent out letters to all of the residents in the community, kind of explaining what they were doing, the law, Act 71, how it is legal for participants to hunt on private properties and all of that. And they felt that that was a key tool during the process, is to get that information out to their residents. Other things, DePere really hasn't done a whole lot other than, you know, referring people to that act. And matter of fact, they had a private property owner that actually, he said that made some money because he had a larger chunk of land, and he actually leased out hunting rights on his property. But none of the communities other than Howard allow hunting on public properties at this point in time, on, you know, parklands or anything like that. They haven't seen a need for it. Howard, Bellevue, Ledgeview, they currently have property that is considered rural still, and they, you know, allow hunting, whether it's use of guns or archery equipment as well. One thing those communities do is they have an official hunting map that they provide to the, you know, on their website or whatnot. So that shows, you know, properties that are available for, you know, different types of hunting and that. So we will continue to, you know, work together. You know, if the communities have ideas or, you know, sharing of ideas or different references or things like that. So, any questions at this point in time?
Have there been many reports? I know down the Arrowhead, St. Mary's neighborhood, they were indicating they had some deer damage. I think that was last year, so I don't know.
We did earlier this year. It was less than a dozen reports total for the year, but that was earlier in the year, and it kind of goes in cycles. you know, as the seasons go, you know, deer will be more visible coming up here in the next month because they'll be moving around because of the rut. So, you know, there's potential for more car accidents. There's potential for more visibility. But then, you know, during the summer months, a lot of them, you know, they want to hide too. So, you know, it's I think, you know, providing some of that educational material and getting the word out there, you know, will really go a long way to helping residents out with some of their issues.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Clark. Moving on, item number 18, an update on raising of Shaw property located at 1825 South Webster Avenue. Who wants to talk about that?
I'll talk
about Attorney Gaines.
Well, as the board is well aware, after much deliberation and consultation with the village building inspector, on July 27th, the inspector issued a raise order to Mr. Shaw concerning his property at 1825 South Webster, ordering him to raise the property within 30 days because of its condition. He failed to do so. The statute affords him a 30-day window in order to file with the Brown County Circuit Court a motion for an injunction to stop the village from raising the structure because the order said if he didn't do it in 30 days, the village would do it for him. He did file the motion for a temporary restraining order and injunction to the court. There was a hearing, an evidentiary hearing was conducted on September 22nd. Captain Gabe, the fire marshal, testified and presented a number of photographs of the structure based upon annual fire inspections, just showing the dilapidated nature of the property. Black mold and green slime all over the place. And weeds growing through the windows. There's actually a tree growing through the roof. This very significant damage over the years, primarily related to the condition of the building. The water's been leaking into that structure for quite a period of time. In fact, Captain Gay testified there was actually a fire protection order in place issued by Green Bay Metro. It says, look, unless there's a human being in that building, we don't go in the building in case of fire. Our job is just to put it out or keep it suppressed from the outside. We're not going in unless we have credible evidence that there's actually a human being in the structure because they have concerns. I mean, Captain Gabe testified that when he tried to go onto the roof a little bit to take a look at to inspect the roof, the whole thing shook. When he shook his oar, the wall shook because it's just in such bad condition. Kevin Weiland, building inspector, also testified, did a very nice job talking about his opinion that the village or that the property is worthy of being raised and that it's unreasonable to repair. So after about a three-hour hearing, Judge Atkinson listened to all the testimony, listened to all the argument, agreed with the village that the property is subject to being raised by the village and it's unreasonable to repair. So the order went off to Judge Atkinson today, basically denying Mr. Shaw's motion for an injunction. We'll receive a signed copy of that order back here shortly. I think the next step in the process is for staff to meet, which would include Trevor and village administrator and building inspector, to determine a process that the village should go through now. Since we're now permitted to raise the structure, how do we go about doing that? I suspect we'll be soliciting some measure of bids for that process. But I think we first have to identify the parameters of any request for proposal. Clearly there's black mold and very terrible conditions in there. In fact, the fire marshal recommended that anybody go in that structure basically wear a hazmat suit with a self-contained breathing apparatus, you know, because it's that bad. So we'll have to determine the parameters of it. I mean, is there lead, is there asbestos, so that we can work hand in hand with potential bidders to arrive at a practical solution and cost-effective solution to raise the building. Because it is an eyesore, it's unhealthy, it's unsafe. I mean, there's evidence of people sleeping in there, you know, squatters in there, but we don't need people dying in there. I used to learn in law school there's this doctrine called attractive nuisance. There are certain things that attract kids to them, and abandoned buildings, and you know, that's one of those things where kids mess around. You know, they gain access, and this could be very dangerous if that happens. So I think staff will explore options to actually raise the structure and create a protocol and recommend the protocol and process to the board for adoption and move forward.
Any questions for Attorney Gast? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Action item number 19. Is there anything that we would like to see on a future agenda item? Just the one that I'd like added to the Public Works agenda that I mentioned earlier.
Derby. Sidewalks on Derby?
Yep. Okay. Do I have a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, regard specifically the Green Avenue Pump House? I have a motion on this item. Trustee Dart, seconded by
closed session.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
We are in closed session.